This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. Lead stories tonight, SpaceX Starlink mission number 12. Did Facebook fail Kenosha, Wisconsin? eBay, happy birthday at 25. And is the Department of Justice going to hit Google with an antitrust as early as this month? As a little bonus tonight, I want to give a shout out to the Podfather, Adam Curry. It's his birthday today. Thank you, Adam, for what you've done in podcasting. We would not be here without you. So a happy birthday to Adam. Hope you had a great one. Meanwhile, I want to welcome you to episode 1473 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, September 3rd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners to the show. I want to thank you for being here. Thanks for checking the show out. Thanks for the longtime listeners for staying subscribed and being part of the family. It's greatly appreciated. Yes, it is indeed. Let's see if I can get the right screen to show up tonight. Oh, I've got a little lacking in host duties tonight because I didn't have the screen ready to go. So maybe it won't. Ah, there it goes. Anyway, get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content on the website. Of course, I'm showing the sponsor page. Get over there and check all the great content up. And when you're there, make sure you get subscribed to the podcast. It's real simple to do so. Just click on one of the links that goes to one of the offerings that you like, either Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and so forth. They're all there. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter while you're on the website as well. And of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a great way to stay connected. Of course, Discord, the link to the Discord channel is on the website, or if you want to be part of our Slack channel, let us know via the email address, geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll get you added to the Slack channel. Of course, I'm on Twitter @geeknews. That's the best way to stay connected to the podcast, is on Twitter and all the various social media platforms, including Facebook. Of course, all the partner shows are linked at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And of course, we can save you money. It's a new month. It's a new month, and I need you all to support the show. It's real easy to do so. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And when you're on the page, I got a bunch of promo codes there for you. 30% off new product purchases, a $499.com on new or transferred domains. For new customers only, I've got our $1 a month economy hosting for the first year of the free domain and a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Now, just remember, those free, essentially free, those $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, that is not limited to one. You can have a couple of sites. So it's not a one-time use code, all right? Just so you know that. Again, every time you want to pick up a domain name, maybe what you do is just spend the $12 for a whole year and get an economy hosting site. And then if you, see what you can do with it. And again, then the domain name really at a normal pricing is $849. So you paid almost nothing for the hosting account for the first year. Of course, if you're a business owner, you may want to consider the free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans for a single month. I tell you what, this is the place to go to save money. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy is the place. And we want to thank you for your longtime support of the sponsor. All of you taking in time to share these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. I definitely appreciate it very much when you do so. All right. Hey, everybody. How you doing? How you been? Hey, Dan. Hi, Toby. Hi, Joel. How you doing? Hello, hello, hello. And I was going to go over and look on YouTube. Got a few people watching on YouTube as well. So those on YouTube, thanks for being here. So just a little bit of administrative business first before we get too far into the content tonight. No new media show tomorrow. Rob is doing something. He's taking a few days off or going on a trip. I don't know where he's going. He didn't tell me. I didn't pry. And no media show tomorrow or Saturday for most of you. And then there was a new media show that we did on Wednesday. I've got it all edited. I just need to get it pushed up. So I'll probably do it at the same time I push the show up tonight. And then on Monday, because of Labor Day, I'm taking Monday off. So no show here on Monday. So I'll be back with you on Thursday of next week. So I get a little extra time to kick back. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to enjoy the long weekend. I don't think I've got any major projects that I've got to get done. I do need to do a once through on the loft and get the loft kind of cleaned up. But other than that, you know, maybe it's going to be just a easy going weekend. I found, you guys know that I got that Keurig machine that does the alcohol. The I've got a way now to get pods for it. I've got a source. Well, not a source. Keurig has made it available so you can have them shipped in, long as someone is 21 and over to be able to sign for the pods. So I was able to get some replacement pods this week that came in. I had them actually delivered here to the office so that when FedEx arrived, I'd be here. So I wasn't out, but the mojito I like a lot. They've got a new one out from Jack Daniels. I'm going to try that. And the margarita one is a little bit too sweet for me, so I always add a little more liquor. But quick way to make a cocktail. And but otherwise, that's probably going to be, we're going to be kicking back. I don't know if it's going to be warm enough to use the pool or not. I don't know. It's cooled off just a little bit here. You know, that's the thing too. You know, having spent 25 years in Hawaii, this year or last year, this time, you know, I was crazy getting the studio put back together, you know, and getting it set up and, well, not put together, but, you know, everything ready to go. And the show was all over the place for me being down in Columbus and being here and just, you know, it was kind of a madhouse. So it's nice to think it's been just over a year. I'm kind of finding my groove, and with, you know, COVID going on, really no travel. So it's been a little bit stir crazy from that standpoint of not being able to really go anywhere. So, you know, that is, it's something that is part of the consideration of, you know, what to do, because I think a lot of us are gone just a little bit stir crazy and being stuck at home. But I know that I have, and, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, I'm going to relax and enjoy the long weekend. And did have a friend of mine who was just basically, she lives over in Cincinnati, and she has been working at home so much. She basically had her studio audio conditioned just like this one has been from the partners we have at audiomute.com. And I saw pictures of it today, put it up on my Facebook page. So if you see that, it looks really nice. And what you may not know is those backgrounds, if you look at the page or look at the pictures, those are all printed. It's a printed design. It looks absolutely fabulous. So she put a home office studio in her basement so she can sound good on Zoom calls and all kinds of stuff. So what a cool way to decorate and to modernize a home office, to have it to be audio conditioned. But anyway, I'm rambling. I don't know why, but let's go ahead and get into the stack today. I got a good stack of stuff. First thing is our conspiracy theory. And this one doesn't come from Michael Dare. This one comes from Andrew. Andrew's in the UK. He's one of our writers at Geek News Central. And this one's really kind of straight out of the X-Files. And it's a BBC documentary. It's called The Dyatlov. I'm going to destroy this. It's the Dyatlov, Dyatlov Pass Mystery. And in 1959, a group of 9 Russian students met a mysterious death in the Ural Mountains. Experienced cross-country skiers, their bodies were found scattered around a campsite, their tent cut from the inside, as they seemingly panicked escape from someone or something. 60 years on, Lucy Ash traces her footsteps to try to find out what happened. So I'll have a link up to this, and For those of you that use Pocket Cast as a podcast app, I've got a direct link to that. That's what Andrew provided. Probably we could have found this on blueberry.com, Andrew, but it's cool that you linked it up the way you did. But this sounds like a cool 151-minute episode on the BBC. And even though it's not a conspiracy, well, it is, but it's not necessarily a, you know, one of those really wild conspiracy theories. It's something that may interest you to take a listen. Okay, congratulations to SpaceX. This was a big, big, big day. Again, I am waiting. I'm waiting for them to send me the email saying that they are ready for me to join the beta. So SpaceX has launched their 12th Starlink mission, says users that are on their pre-beta, I wish I'd have been on the pre-beta, are getting 100 megs down. And the company also says it successfully tested inter-satellite links, which is, I guess, if you're not directly in the line of sight of the satellite, I guess it, or a base station, it links over your data and then back down. So this is exciting stuff. So that, you know, SpaceX is punching out the launches. It's just like almost one a week here. And this morning, the Falcon 9 lifted off from KSC. And the mission went nominally, with the first stage making a safe landing several minutes after the launch and a full stack of satellites being deployed shortly after. And they said, we are well into our first phase of testing of our private beta program with plans to roll out a public beta later this year. Where we're getting later in the year, SpaceX. Tice said, for several months, SpaceX has been collecting names and addresses of people interested in participating in the public beta. And myself and Barry Kantz, my CFO of Blueberry, he's waiting for this as well. He revealed the first official public information about the internal tests, saying that SpaceX employees have been using Starlink terminals, collecting latency statistics, and performing standard speed tests of the system. Initial results have been good. These tests reveal super low latency and download speeds greater than 100 megabits per second. Of course, we'll see what happens when we load this thing up. She noted that this would provide enough bandwidth to play fastest online games and stream multiple HD movies at once. Now, they didn't say what the upload speeds were. Now, these comments are in contrast to some recent Starlink speed tests. They were posted anonymously, which showed download speeds ranging from 11 to 60 megs. Now, they're probably working on the software, but, you know, I'm only getting like 12 where I'm at. I'm paying $80 for 12. So really what's going on here, that they want to unlock access to the FCC's Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, which is set to pay out up to $16 billion to internet providers over 10 years. To qualify, the company we need to deliver at least 25 megs down with latency below 100 milliseconds. So they got their work cut out for them. So we'll see what happens here. Now, all these satellites are in a pretty low orbit. It's not, you know, because they're doing a broad swath of them. They're not going up to like Q's, going up to one where there's huge latency. It takes a long time to get to the satellite, even at the speed of light, and then back down. These are in low orbit, so it's a bing, bing. You know, it's real, real quick. So we'll see what happens here. But 100 millisecond latency is pretty impressive. Time will tell. Something. I feel like I had a hair in my mouth. That's not possible. There's no hair here. This is an article that is very, how should we say it? Very touchy. It's entitled How Facebook Failed Kenosha. And it's from BuzzFeed News. And there's a couple of supplemental articles that goes along with this. Despite Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's previous statements that the company had removed a militia event where people discussed gathering in Kenosha to shoot and kill protesters, the company never took any such action. BuzzFeed News has learned the event was taken down by the militia group itself after two people were killed. A concerned citizen, Sandra Fihar, thought she was helping Facebook enforce its own rules when she reported armed citizens to protect our lives and property event being organized on the social network for the evening of August 25th. The event was created by the Kenosha Guard, a self-proclaimed militia group, had hundreds of RSVPs by the time she came across it, and was already a hotbed of really raucous and disturbing discussions. Members discussed plans to bring weapons to a specific location in Kenosha and to defend public property and potentially attack people protesting. And here's where it really turns. And again, I have no issue with people wanting to go peacefully protest, but when people start talking about planning to kill people, that's beyond the pale. We live in a world today where it's shocking people would put that. First of all, it's shocking people would put that on a Facebook group. Someone says, "I fully plan to kill looters and rioters tonight." This is what was actually posted, and there's screenshots of this. "I have my suppressor on my rifle. These fools won't even know what hit them," and was responded to. So Facebook initially said they took it down, but they didn't. The actual group took it down. So why didn't Facebook take this page down? Her complaint was one of 455 that was sent to Facebook that warned of the militia event and violating the company's policies. Together, they inspired 4 manual and numerous automated reviews of the event page by Facebook's content moderators, which all concluded it did not violate the company rules. How is that possible? When you have Zuckerberg that is out there and his organization out there now removing sites that aren't even talking about violence, they're talking about conspiracy theories and all kinds of other types of things, and they're taking these sites down. How is it possible that a site that was toting violence, talking about shooting people, talk about killing people, that's clear. That's beyond the pale. And so why didn't they take it down? And Zuckerberg said it was an administrative mistake. So now activists are calling on Facebook to ban armed event listings after this shooting. Change the terms is also calling for better automated flags. Change the term is calling on Facebook to institute new policies surrounding potentially dangerous content, including a blanket ban on event pages, encourage people to bring weapons to events. In a letter to Mark Zuckerberg on Thursday, the group called for a broad enhancement of Facebook's moderation against extremism, including more automated tools for proactive enforcement. Now, let's be clear. Organizing to protest, peacefully protest, is something that Facebook allows today. So if you are having an armed event, that is allowed today. But I think any one of us would automatically say that anyone that starts talking about people being shot or wanting to shoot people is really off the hook. So I don't know if the shooting, I haven't followed it close enough. I don't watch too much news right now. I don't know if the shootings that happened in Kenosha were related, if there were people that were part of that group that went and one of those was one of those members. I don't know. But protesting is good. Violence is bad. And talking about violence and talking about killing protesters is something you think would be immediately flagged by Facebook. I think that Facebook probably still remains a good place to organize, to peacefully protest and do other events. I schedule my own events on Facebook on a regular basis. And it's a good place to reach people and let them know something's going on. Now, I'm not organizing protests, but I'm organizing live events and different types of things. So what do you guys think? What do you think about what Facebook did here or didn't do and what they should do? So geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Definitely I want to hear to hear from you. But I think I agree with the activists to say the issue is too urgent to delay. Facebook must commit to stopping hate and investing more in doing so. And they need to be even-handed about it when they issue takedowns. So I think it would be pretty easy to identify and remove violent groups, especially when they're talking about things that like they did in this post. So I'm surprised that they would even organize on Facebook anyway. You think they would be doing it somewhere else because it's public, right? People can see it. So it's very, very interesting. All right, I'm going to move on. But I think Facebook has some more explaining to do, to be honest with you. At 25, eBay is a reminder. Yeah, eBay, 25 years old. I think back to some of the first things I bought on eBay. Where was I living? I was living in Guam. Holy crap. I think that was the first place I used eBay. Or was I in Maryland? I'm trying to remember where I was living. Because I was buying back in the day when I was running the bulletin board system long before podcasting. I would have, and hard drive space was not what it is today. I would buy these multi-changer CD systems. It would hold 18 CDs, I think, data CDs, or maybe it was only 6. I can't remember. It was whatever it was. It allowed us to expand storage, 640 megabits at a time. You know, think about that. That's how, you know, hard drives were crazy expensive. Like a one gig hard drive was, you know, $1,000 or something stupid like that. And so we were able to stack CD trays, and they could switch in. If someone was requesting a file off the bulletin board, the CD would load. It'd switch. That's what it was. Had 18 total CDs, and they were in those racks, those Pioneer systems. Well, anyway, long story short, I was buying those on eBay. That was some of the first stuff I bought on eBay because it was used, and that gear was really expensive, $600-$700 per box. And I think I was picking them up used on eBay for, I don't know, you know, $100, and then maybe it took me 2 to get one good one or something to that effect. But 25 years. eBay's been around. I buy stuff on eBay from time to time too. You know what eBay is good for? Believe it or not, I have a certain type of Nike shoe that I really, really like. And I've been able to find twice now, I've been able to find brand new of my size, that specific Nike shoe, and I've been able to order it. And, you know, if you guys fall in love with a specific type of shoe, you remember sneaker folks change shoes out like every 3 months. Buy 2 or 3 pairs. if you really like a certain shoe and it looks good on you or whatever. But for me, I think I found 2 times on eBay, I have found that specific brand of and color of shoe. So, you know, you find the weirdest stuff on eBay, and I always go looking there first when I'm trying to find some weird part that I know that I'm not going to find anywhere else. Or, you know, maybe I'll find it in Alibaba if I'm lucky, but usually it's stuff is so old that that's the only place you can find it. And I love when people put stuff up on eBay because I'm the guy that's going to go buy the crazy stuff that is older that tries to recycle and use stuff. But anyway, that's that. So 25 years. Happy birthday to eBay. What was your last eBay purchase? And drop me an email so that we can hear what you bought on eBay. Or do you remember what your first purchase on eBay was? Next up, this is interesting. We've heard about this, but Department of Justice could hit Google with an antitrust case by as early as the end of this month. And apparently, the Attorney General is reportedly pushing to finalize the case as soon as possible. We know that Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple were all questioned during an antitrust hearing in late July. So we'll see what's going to happen here. And Justice Martin Vicious told lawyers involved in the antitrust inquiry into Alphabet, the parent company Google, and YouTube to wrap up their work by the end of September. According to three people, most of the 40-odd lawyers who had been working the investigation opposed the deadline. Some said they would not sign the complaint, and several of them left the case this summer. So a little dissent there. But I think we can all agree that Google, Facebook, Apple, they've all been headed towards this antitrust stuff for a long time. We'll see what the government comes up against them. But if they don't have a good enough case, you know, Google's got pretty doggone good lawyers. T-Mobile Project 10 million is launching Thursday, aimed to end the homework gap. So this is awesome. And we're seeing this here in my community. We have lots of low-income folks in the community, and they don't have really good internet. Maybe they don't have a laptop. It's just, the list is pretty extensive. The company is committed to $10.7 billion to make sure students can access the internet at home. It'll provide free hotspots and a limited amount of data or a discount for more. So 13 of the country's 15 biggest school districts will have virtual classes this fall. We all know that. Millions of students lack the device and connectivity needed for remote classes. So to help with that crisis, T-Mobile launched this program, its grant program. It was unveiled a year ago. Again, Project 10 Million provide hotspots and free connectivity. So the company's hammered out the project specifics. It's opening it up to schools on Thursday, so schools have to apply. So if your school is hurting and they need devices and that type of thing, they've allocated $10.7 billion over the life of the 10-year program. So up from the initial $10 billion pledge in late 2019. Still $1 billion, maybe a year. That's not Trump change at all. Or chump change. I shouldn't say Trump change. Students are part of the National Free and Reduced Lunch Program for low-income families will qualify. A school district applies for the grant and is able to specify the needs of its students. It doesn't share personal identifying information. Aside from a zip code, at times, to be sure students have steady T-Mobile service where they live. The school handles the distribution of the hotspots and can tap into dedicated T-Mobile support. Once approval goes through, T-Mobile says this could happen within hours. The schools will have the option to give students a free hotspot and 100 gigs of data spread out across a full year. Now, 100 gigs, when I was working a lot with my mobile or being traveling and in hotels and relying on my hotspot, if I did not watch movies, YouTube, I could get away. If I was just doing like email, some Facebook stuff, I could probably get away with 8 to 10 gigs a month. Now, if parents are diligent and make sure that they're only using the hotspot for school activities, and this is going to be the challenge, because the kids are just going to want to go watch YouTube videos. That 100 gigs for schoolwork could really last. And about 8 gigs a month is, you know, 8 times 12 is 96. So again, about 8 gigs if you're doing email, doing papers, that type of stuff, doing research. I think this is achievable. Now, if needed, if students need more, they can pay $12 a month for 100 gigs. Now, that is a deal. 100 gigs, if just the students using it and not the rest of the family or maybe a couple of students, no problem. And that'll give them plenty of bandwidth to watch some videos. Yeah, $12 a month for 100 gigs on a hotspot. Awesome. Or $15 a month for unlimited data. So if a parent can afford that $12 to $15, then even probably the parents could use the hotspot a little bit. So this is awesome. I think this is a good deal by T-Mobile. I think that they're doing a good thing here. We'll see how many students this is going to affect, and we'll watch for more stories on that. Ted says, PICC, PICC for great eBay shopping. All right, awesome. And Jennifer in chat said, I picked up a Samsung G-Track Pro mic when I couldn't find it anywhere else. Oh, and Ted says, Converse All-Star High Tops. Yeah, I'm telling you, there's other places to buy clothes and shoes, and you know, there's some well-known sites to do that. And people that are in the business of collecting stuff that, you know, on sale, then selling it at regular retail. But yeah, I use eBay to find new stuff all the time that I want to find a part for or whatever. Okay, let's move on. But anyway, this T-Mobile thing's awesome. Google Maps, there's a little bit behind the secret sauce. They talk about how they use artificial intelligence for its Maps apps. And basically, they say they use real-time data combined with historical data. And it kind of makes sense. It's, you know, people are typically driving the same route every day, going to work, going home. And that over time, if you've got your location data turned on, gives Google all kinds of good information, including Waze and all the other map apps. And then the real-time data. It's basically if you're sitting in a traffic jam, it knows your car's not moving and it's on a highway. Pretty easy, get 5-10 of those, and all of a sudden they can make real good predictions on traffic flow. So anyway, they talk about this, how they've had to adjust since COVID because of the less traffic on the road and throwing out some of the historical data during this kind of weird time we're in. I'll be honest with you. The area that I live in, traffic's back to normal. There, it's just like nothing's going on. There is not, it's, of course, there's no traffic here. You know, it really isn't. I still have a 12-minute commute, you know, from the compound here to the studio. So, but those of you that live in high-density areas, what are you guys seeing? Is this traffic back to normal? If you live in California, maybe not. In certain states that are still being restricted, like Honolulu. Actually, Ted was sent me a message the other day, said, hey, is Honolulu really doing all these things? He sent me a document. I'm like, yep, they're locked down there again. It's crazy. People are suffering horribly. I know people are suffering here in the United States or in the lower 48. I shouldn't, Hawaii's part of the United States before I get blasted. Before the lower 48, but in Hawaii, man, oh man, they are just, it's bad. It's bad. I fully suspect if they don't get a handle on what's going on in Honolulu and open things back up, it's going to be bread and soup lines before it's all over. It's bad. The unemployment is no tourist. You know, when tourists come, you got to quarantine for 14 days. And you know, I can't even go back and check on my house. It's not possible. You got to, you know, lock down somewhere, and I'm not going to do that. All right, MSI, the laptop manufacturer, unveils its first Intel Evo certified laptops. It also has a new gaming and business-focused machines in its lineup. So Intel's 11th generation Tiger Lake CPUs, the Prestige 14 Evo, offers instant wake-up and Wi-Fi 6 connectivity. So where do these things come in at price? Does it say? Some of them start like $1,500. So these are not going to be inexpensive laptops. They look pretty cool. Nice, glossy, and interesting color. So anyway, definitely check it out if you're looking for new laptops. Of course, laptops right now are, man, they're hot because all the kids need them. The Twitter has flagged the president's tweet for encouraging people to potentially vote twice. Oh my God, what is he saying? Vote twice. You take a little bit out of context, but it is kind of hilarious. At this point, there is people flip their lids for everything. So I'll be, are you guys going to like be happy after the election's over? Well, maybe not. I don't, maybe it's just going to be just as crazy after the election's over. I don't know. That's why we don't talk politics here. NSA surveillance exposed by Snowden. Listen to this. Ruled unlawful. One of the biggest traitors of America. They said that some of the surveillance that he exposed was ruled unlawful. It does not change his conviction, though. A U.S. Court of Appeals has ruled intelligent leaders who publicly defended the program lied. And then, of course, Snowden says, I never imagined that I would live to see the courts condemn the NSA's activities as unlawful and in the same ruling credit me for exposing them. Now, who made this decision? It says the U.S. Court of Appeals, but it doesn't say what USA Court of Appeals. Top U.S. intelligence officials, the public insisted the NSA never knowingly collected data from private phone records until Snowden exposed evidence to the contrary in 2013. Following the revelation, officials said NSA surveillance programs had played a crucial role in fighting domestic terrorism, including the convictions of a number of terrorists that were convicted and I think sent off to Gitmo. But on Wednesday, the Court of Appeals said the claims were inconsistent with the contents of the classified records and the program had violated the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act. So what does that mean? I don't know. But it's an interesting ruling nonetheless. Apple has delayed a privacy feature, sadly, that would let iPhone owners keep ad tracking at bay. The change will go live with iOS 14, but Apple will start enforcing them early next year. So this controversy new privacy rule is implementing with iOS 14. It's being pushed back to 2021. And so I guess some of it's turned off, but they're saying it's giving developers more time to comply with the changes. Among the companies most concerned about the change, of course, is Facebook, because they track everything that you do, which said it would stop using the unique identifiers that Apple intends to warn users about, but expressed concerns for third-party advertisers on its network that cannot afford to do the same. We are committed to ensuring users can choose whether or not they allow an app to track them. Did you hear that? This is what Facebook said. We are committed to ensuring users can choose whether or not they allow an app to track them, to give developers time to make necessary changes. Apps will be required to obtain permission to track users starting early next year. Apple says developers can begin complying with rules when iOS 14 launches if they choose, but it won't require them to do so until 2021. And basically, every app that you install, there's a unique identifier that says, this is me, that goes back to that app developer. So interesting delay by Apple. Facebook, in a very, very strange, very strange research project. Listen to this. I still am trying to figure this out. Facebook is paying people to shut down their accounts ahead of the election. Let me say that again. Facebook is paying people to shut down their accounts ahead of the election. As part of Facebook's latest study on how social media impacts democracy, the company appears to be paying users to log off its products ahead of the 2020 U.S. presidential election, according to screenshots posted by the Washington Post. Facebook has announced it's partnering with outside researchers to study the impact that social media products have on society. Facebook expects around 200,000 to 400,000 users will opt into the project. Once they've opted in, the company will be able to see how they interact with its products, including both Facebook and Instagram. But they're going to pay them to shut their accounts down, and they're going to give them $10, $15, or $20 per week to deactivate their accounts from 1 week up to 6 weeks. A Facebook spokesperson confirmed the company would be paying users who complete surveys or deactivate as part of its research. Why are they doing this? Why are they paying people to shut off their or deactivate their accounts? I don't get this research. I don't understand why they're paying. Who are they offering this to? It's really mind-boggling to me. And maybe someone can figure this out, because I'm surely confused. as one Twitter post said, so Facebook is now going to pay people to deactivate their Instagram and Facebook accounts before Election Day. It's part of the research experiment announced Monday, but wow. Yeah, so I don't get it. How about you? Ted is saying in the chat room, several food banks reporting that they ran out of food often and it's projected to get worse. He says Southern California is getting back to normal traffic. And I think Ted's down around San Diego. So thanks for the update, Ted. Nintendo is releasing its 35th anniversary Super Mario Brothers game and watch. So you guys want to go out and get a Super Mario Brothers mini game? Looks kind of cool. How much is it going to be available for? The game and watch will be released November 13th, limited production for $50. So they'll sell all these instantly. You'll have to have very, very, very fast mouse clicking skills to hook one of these up when these become available. Limited edition. Super fans of that will be scooping those up in a hurry. I should have covered this in the last article here about Facebook, but Facebook has 1.25 billion monthly viewers. Facebook Watch. How many of you been on Facebook Watch? I haven't. Or if I have, I didn't know I was. Facebook Watch tops 1.25 million monthly viewers, continue to ramp up challenge to YouTube. Why do we do this to ourselves? Burger King, and I must admit, because at least in my town, there's been limited, the restaurants are open, but you know, I'm in town so much, I'm brown bagging a lot, but I'm also, you know, picking food up for lunch. And, for many, many years, I did not eat at Burger King. I mean, I probably went. Part of it was because when I was in the Navy and going to Japan, all there was Burger King. I really got, sick of Burger King. And, but now I get a Whopper Jr., I'm good. I can stomach a Whopper Jr. Their chicken sandwich that they sell still gives me heartburn to this day. I don't know what it is about that sandwich and the spices they put in it. Maybe it's the pepper, but boy, it's like 5 minutes after eating that sandwich, I'm done. You know, you find the Tums. But Burger King is designing touchless restaurants for the COVID-19 era. Conveyor belts, carports, and multiple drive-through lanes are part of the redesign. Okay, I guess they're thinking COVID's never going to be over. Of course, I haven't stepped foot in a Burger King and, maybe when I retire from the Navy, let me think back. Probably it's been 2002, 2003, last time since I stepped into a Burger King. So I guess I've been through the drive-through a few times. But I guess that's the trend, you know. But they're going to design a touchless restaurants for the COVID-19 era. Again, our new modern life, our new way of life here, conveyor belts, carports, and drive-thrus. That's what it is, right? Here in Michigan, they've got weed pharmacies that have drive-thru. I was driving through a town and I saw the saw the sign for the weed pharmacy and it said drive through available. I'm like, damn, you can drive through and pick up a bag. I was like, wow, I was pretty surprised. I guess they just scan your driver's license and you put your order in, give them your cash and off you go with your bag. Man, how times have changed. All right. Apple once again loses retail staff bag search. So this has been going on for years. Apple used to make their employees line up before they left work to check the bag that they'd brought to work, make sure they haven't stolen any devices or gear or gadgets. And sometimes that bag check took 10, 15, 45 minutes as all the employees were trying to get out. And the staff basically said, hey, you're holding us here hostage. pay us for this time. And Apple said, no, we're not going to pay you, because it was coming in, going out, going on break, all that. So finally, this has been through the Court of Appeals like twice, went up to the California Supreme Court. Apple lost. They have to pay. So good. You know, they can afford it. They can afford to pay their employees a little bit of extra cash or making them wait in line for security. Facebook is introducing a forward limit on Messenger. So from now on, messages can only be forwarded to 5 people or groups at a time. So the purpose of this limitation, according to Facebook, is to slow the spread of viral misinformation and harmful content. It has a potential to cause real-world harm. So this is what it is. This is what happens to me. I get it. I'll get some people that I know will find something of interest, and they know that if it's put on a Facebook page, it's going to be taken down. So they'll send it via Messenger, and they send it to a whole bunch of people at once. Well, Facebook doesn't like that. They don't like us communicating. By the way, you know, there's this cool thing called email that isn't censored. Email list, email groups. That's still a thing. You know, that's still very viable technology that can never be, you know, at least up to this point, you can sign up for a mailing list. You know, I need to start promoting that as a business again, because people have forgot. They just want to do everything through Messenger. No one does email, right? You should see my email. I finished the day with 23 remaining in my inbox, and I had to do some running around, and I came back to the office and was messing around on the computer for a minute, and it was back to 95. My God, I can't win. All right, Facebook lets users transfer photos and videos to Dropbox. We knew this was coming, but this change has been made worldwide. So now you can transfer photos that are on Facebook to Google Photo. Of course, that's been available since June, but now you can do to Dropbox and a few other places. So get your photos backed up before they close your account. Alexa for Residential lets landlords create small smart apartments. Now, listen to this. You can go as a landlord now, and you can participate in something called Alexa for Residential. And I apologize if I just triggered your devices. Now, where can this go wrong? Landlords and property managers can install Amazon devices, pre-fill info like device name, address, Wi-Fi network, pre-enable skills, and set interactions with other smart home devices like lights, appliances. Residents will then be able to connect their personal accounts to this system that's been set up by a landlord and add additional devices. Amazon says 84% of renters want an apartment with smart home amenities, and 61% said they would pay a monthly fee for a voice assistant. So what happens when you've got a weirdo landlord, and he's wired your house up before you arrive, or your apartment up before you get there, and he puts a camera in someplace? There is absolutely no way on this God's green earth that I would allow a landlord to set up any type of smart home system in any property that I would ever be residing in. It's when I walk into a place to rent, if it's furnished, that's one thing. But if there's a whole bunch of smart home devices that are connected, I'm going to be factory resetting everything. There's just no way. There's no way. There's too many weirdos out there. Who knows what they're doing and setting up before you walk in? No, 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 no. This doesn't work. This does not work for me at all. A lot of content tonight. Snapchat had a big August amid TikTok uncertainty. boy, people are really worried about it. The deadline is fast approaching. So Snapchat had a big month. I thought Instagram would have had. Why would Snapchat have a big month? I don't know. I guess I'm just not a snapper. YouTube TV adds NFL networks to its core lineup. Well, there's a $10.99 I'm not going to have to worry about spending. It's also offering a Sports Plus add-on with NFL Red Zone as well. There is a rumor out that only one of Apple's new iPhones supports the fastest 5G. All the 2020 phones will support 5G, but only the top-of-the-line model has room for the antenna and battery for the speedy millimeter wave 5G. I might not make it to the end of the show on the water I've got left. So we'll see what happens during the upcoming Apple phone event. All right, I'm closing that one. That one's a little too political. GIF search, voice typing, and more are coming to Windows 10. The new feature are available for Windows insiders to test. So if you're a Windows 10 users, again, it's getting an integrated GIF search, improvements to voice typing, and a few other new features. So link will be up in the show notes. Apple pushes iOS 14 updated oh, we already talked about that. That's a dupe. Verizon. We talked about an upcoming auction. This wasn't the one. But Verizon placed $1.89 billion in bids for licenses in the 3.5 gigahertz band. So that's a huge spend. Now, Dish Network did a bid of $912 million for Spectrum, along with about 400 other companies. The company buy little pieces of Spectrum. The auction reached $4.6 billion in winning bids. So what's conspicuous about this is AT&T, T-Mobile are all absent from the list of bidders. So maybe they're going to be going after the other Spectrum, but it's pretty shocking that none of the other mobile providers went after any of that 3.5 gigahertz spectrum. Amazon's reported to create 7,000 UK jobs. And so that's good. They've already added 3,000 since the beginning of 2020. And at the end of the year, they'll still have created 10,000 new jobs in the United Kingdom. Also, Apple is going to be rolling out offer codes for app subscriptions with iOS 14. Developers will be able to hand out offer codes online or offline later this year. So this is a unique alphanumeric code that provides free or discounted prices for auto-renewable subscriptions. This is awesome. Distributors will be able to distribute them one-time codes online or offline. They can give them out via email blasts or hand them out at events. So is it going to impact the app developers' revenue because they won't be responsible for that back to Apple? TCL's latest true wireless earbuds are $120 AirPods alternative. So they even got a little cute case. It kind of looks like AirPod, but TCL. But the only problem is they only offer 3.5 hours of battery life on a single charge. That is a deal killer for me. With my AirPods in my ear almost all day, it's very rare I run out of power. Also, TCL has a new paper-like display, can also play videos. It's called Next NXT paper, and it will reflect natural light to protect your eyes. And that's going to be going into tablet technology and phones and a variety of other things. But the rollout will be pretty slow. It's expensive, but it does give a significant power savings. So we'll see some of this technology and TCL stuff down the road. I'm looking at TCL TV right in front of me. Apple is expanding renewable energy footprint in Europe. World's largest onshore wind turbines in Denmark and new clean energy efforts in Germany. Advance Apple's new 2030 carbon neutral program. So they announced to invest in the construction of two of the world's largest onshore wind turbines. So located near the Danish town of Esbjerg, the 200-meter-tall turbines are expected to produce 62 gigawatt hours each year. enough to power almost 20,000 homes and will act as a test site for powerful offshore wind turbines. So the first ones are onshore? Interesting. Yeah, offshore is the way to go, so you have to hear them things out. Whoop, 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 whoop. They're noisy. Qualcomm hopes to topple AirPods Pro with adaptive noise cancellation for true wireless earbuds that automatically adjust the sound based on how they fit. So this adaptive noise canceling with just sound performance sounds kind of familiar, right? That's not exactly what Apple does with the AirPods Pro. But who's going to be introducing this? There haven't been any true wireless earbuds announced with this technology, but according to them, it will not be long. They've already licensed with Jabra, Sennheiser, Bang, one more, Audio-Technica, Skullcandy, and a few others as well. So we'll see where this tech plays out and if it truly is good or not. Late today, Facebook announced that they will ban new political ads in the week before the U.S. election. That move is aimed at preventing voter fraud and misinformation. So no new ads the week before the vacation, before the election. They have to, you have to buy the ads before the October 27th deadline. So interesting. Don't know if that's going to change anything. Just people put the disinformation ads together for on October 27th or whenever the deadline is and submits them and they still run. The great list of products to buy. Engadget has the best ultra-portable laptops you can buy. There's a great list here. And also we got some of these lists for some Labor Day sales coming up with Dell. We've got a list of Blue Wave speakers for 2020 put together by Android Central. And we've got some best Chromebooks of 2020 from Android Central as well. So that's going to kind of wrap me up here, folks, getting through the full stack of stuff. Well, I went long today, didn't I? Actually not, just about an hour. So felt long for some reason. I'm ready. I'm ready for the weekend. I really, really am. I'm. I had a my last call today was at 3:30. I just felt like I hit the wall. Tomorrow morning, all the way up until 11:30, I start right off at like 8:30 with meetings all the way to almost noon, and then I blocked off some time tomorrow to just have some silence and no calls and no meetings and do some marketing planning for the company. But probably will kick out a little bit early tomorrow, making an Aloha Friday, even though I'm in Michigan. But anyway, we got a long weekend coming up. I hope everyone stays safe. Enjoy the Labor Day weekend, wherever you may be in the United States. Last true, big hoorah here for the summer. Then, it's a run to Thanksgiving after this. Can you believe it? We're already in September. 2020 is going to go down as just a year that we flushed it down the toilet. You know, for some people, it's been great. For some people, it's been horrible. For some people, it's been devastating. We're here in September. And my God, Can this nightmare end anytime soon? It needs to be done and gone. But anyway, I want to thank everyone that was watching live. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. And again, check out the post I made on Facebook about the install from my friends at Audimute.com, of course, who designed this studio and the other two studios here in the New Media Production Studio. Otherwise, I'm out. Again, no show on Monday, so we'll see you here in just about a week. Everyone take care. Be safe. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.